Principal Chief Chuck Hoskin, Cherokee Nation. We read that Governor Stitt has tried to make casino gambling, in essence, illegal in Oklahoma. And your response to this?
Well, it's absolutely bewildering, but it's been bewildering for some time. I mean, this is par for the course in terms of his insistence that the gaming compact came to a screeching halt at the end of this year. That is every bit of the gaming compact, which if it did happen — it didn't, but if it did happen — it would cripple one of the most vibrant and growing industries in the state that generates, you know, nearly 100,000 jobs, billions in economic development over the years and fees to the state. So it is bewildering, but he's literally asking a federal judge to shut down Class 3 gaming, which is really counterproductive.
Now, when we hear the terms like Class 3 gaming, what does that mean to the average person who thinks they might want to drop by and just have some fun at the casino?
Well, it would be the difference in terms of slot machines between what we call a bingo format type experience, as opposed to a more of a Las Vegas style slot machine, you know, pulling the handle and seeing where they land. And then also the card games are part of the Class 3 gaming. It doesn't mean we couldn't continue to operate, but it would obviously impact operations, and it would impact people's experience, I think, in a negative way, which means that, they take the dollars elsewhere. And so, you know, one thing to remember is there's thousands of people that come into the state of Oklahoma for that gaming experience from the region. They travel to do it. Well, they can travel a bit further and go elsewhere in the country and have that experience. So to not be competitive in that regard is not good. But, you know, it's counterproductive. And I've never heard that the governor going after an industry this way. It is negatively impacting all 4 million Oklahomans if he got done what he wants to get done in terms of shutting down Class 3 gaming. And if we want to be a top 10 state — I've never heard of a top 10 state with a governor who's gone after an industry this way. I think it sends the wrong message to the country about the stability of business in Oklahoma to have a governor act this way.
What would be left, by the way, just out of curiosity, if the doors were kept open with Class 3 out the, you know, on hold, what would be left for folks to enjoy the casino besides great entertainment, great food?
Well, there'd still be gaming. So there'd still be Class 2 gaming, which, again, is this bingo-based gaming experience. We would continue to operate, again, just not at the level that we are. And, you know, in a broader sense, not as competitive with the larger region outside of Oklahoma in terms of those very precious outside dollars that come into the state. And so people could still come in. Here's the other thing that Oklahomans need to know. The state of Oklahoma gets gaming fees from Class 3 gaming. So shutting down Class 3 gaming means that the amount of money the state gets is zero in terms of money directly to its coffers. In a state that needs all the dollars it can get to balance the budget and do the things the governor wants to do, it is kind of breathtaking that his position is, let's shut down an entire revenue stream, presumably to gain some leverage in future discussions about the future of gaming. I just don't think it's the right call.
Now, recently, did you send that check in for the fees yet already? And if so, did the governor cash it?
Well, we send it in as always. I believe he's indicated that he would put gaming dollars in a trust fund if we continue to send it, or some sort of an escrow type account. And that's, you know, that's fine if that's what he wants to do. But it would deny lawmakers who need to balance the budget here in the coming months and fund some initiatives. It would deny them a source of revenue. It would rob the people of the state of that funding stream. As long as we continue to operate as we're operating, though, I have good news for all 4 million Oklahomans. We sustain so many jobs in this state. We generate so much economic activity. I mean, Cherokee Nation alone, not only the jobs we directly employ, but what we support is about 20,000 jobs outside of our direct employment. So I have good news for the people of the state of Oklahoma. Just because our governor says it's illegal It's not so, and we're going to continue operating, continue benefiting the whole region. Because remember, unlike outside gaming companies, we reinvest every penny into this state, and that's a good thing for everybody.
Chief, I understand you're going to be in Bartlesville for a special movie.
I am, a special presentation of a movie on Wilma Mankiller. I'm very excited to be there. That, I believe, is the 27th of this month. And, Bartlesville is a great place to showcase that because, you know, a great deal of what happened with the Cherokee Nation, some people don't know it, but a great deal of what happened in the Cherokee Nation to sort of revitalize us in the 1970s happened from people in Bartlesville and people like Mr. Keeler. And so to talk about the Wilma Mankiller story, which, of course, came on the heels of that, is great. She's just such an iconic leader.
This is really going to be nice. I know a lot of people are looking forward to seeing the movie and, of course, meeting you and your lovely wife at the event. We've got some other really good news to share. I mean, everything from the historic registry to a few other things, it seems to get clouded out by, of course, this gaming impasse. Would you like to share a few of the bright spots?
Well, it does get clouded out. The Historic Registry Act is going to give us opportunities to identify historic sites all over Cherokee Nation. And I want people to know, I mean all over Cherokee Nation. I mean from all 14 counties, including Washington County, there are places that some of which we still need to find and identify of historic significance. We'll put them on a registry. It will help us prioritize funding. We're looking at all sorts of historic preservation opportunities, which again helps everyone out. We're starting up another round of college scholarships for Cherokee students, and that news will be coming soon. But this is the time of year when high school juniors and seniors start thinking about college, particularly seniors getting to focus on scholarships, and we'll continue to pump somewhere in the neighborhood of $15 million or more into that. One thing significant there is that Oklahoma College and Universities is where these students largely go. And so that means those dollars are following them to those wonderful schools and help keeping those schools, going strong. So we have that going, in maybe a couple months, we'll be talking about car tag revenues. We're giving money directly to public schools to help them out. Just seeing the initial fruits of our labor on some other initiatives, such as our effort to double the funding for VOTEC and CareerTech programs. So we have some Cherokees that are just graduating from building trade classes, and we've got other Cherokees signing up for healthcare certification classes and other things so that they can get on their way to a career. And those are all exciting things for our people. And, our people live all over Northeast Oklahoma. They build lives in these communities we all call home, and so that's why all these things we talk about at Cherokee Nation really benefit everyone, and that's the way I see things, and I'll keep doing that.
Yeah, I see your picture in front of a lot of hospitals these days too. You're the healthy one. You're doing the cutting with the scissors though, but no scalpel.
For sure, I'm doing the cutting with the scissors, and then of course behind me is all sorts of great healthcare professionals staffing up the largest outpatient healthcare facility in the country in Tahlequah. That's been a years long effort, predated my time as chief. That'll be a years long effort to staff up. We're talking about 850 healthcare workers, about 100 doctors to staff this great facility. So those are great strides, and probably one of the most exciting things, Tom, is next fall we'll see the first class of hopeful doctors entering the OSU Medical School in Tahlequah, the first of its kind in Indian Country. Those are some great things again for the whole region, because we surely need more doctors in this region, and that's a good place for them to get their training. So, yeah, healthcare, we're very excited about it. We just continue to put resources into that, and helps everybody at the end of the day.
I understand you just got back from New Orleans, and this had to do with the Indian Child Welfare Act. Is there something you'd like to tell us about that?
It is. Now, the Indian Child Welfare Act is sometimes difficult to understand and sometimes misunderstood. What people need to know is about 1978, when this federal law was enacted, it was a terrible problem across the country that Indian children were adopted away, taken from not only their families, but taken away from their communities, their tribal communities, and they lost the opportunity for really their lives to enjoy their culture. And of course, it hurt them individually in that regard, but it also hurt tribal communities. And I think most people think the surest way to build a strong future is to invest in your children. Imagine a situation where you're literally losing your children, including to an adoption industry that was all too eager to adopt kids away off tribal lands to non-Indian families. And it's nothing against non-Indians, but it is part of the future of an Indian nation to have children and communities whole. So this law basically says that if a child's subject to a custody proceeding, some sort of proceeding where their future custody is at stake, whether it's a foster family or adoption, then number one, the tribe would be notified and they could play a role in the proceeding. Number two, there would be a preference. And the preference would be, number one, we always want family reunification. But number two, keep them with at least extended family in their tribe. Number three, keep them somewhere in their tribal community if the other options are not possible. And then the last option, really, before a non-Indian adoption is, can you keep them with some tribal member, even if it's another tribe? Sometimes neighboring tribes, for example, have a similar culture. So that law has worked very well, but it comes under attack. It comes under attack sometimes by people saying that's unfair. It's unfair. It's a preference to Indians that shouldn't be in the law. So we went to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals yesterday, where the full panel of judges heard arguments for and against. We certainly hope it is upheld as constitutional. We'll have to see, but based on the hearing yesterday, I'm optimistic. I can tell you in the state of Oklahoma, even though we've had some high-profile cases that that have seemed controversial, by and large, Oklahoma courts, DHS, tribal child welfare agencies, we work very well together.
Very good. Anything else you'd like to add, sir?
No, I'm just looking forward to coming to Bartlesville again. Look forward to seeing folks on the 27th.
Great. We look forward to seeing you too. Thank you, Chief. Appreciate it.